Hello?
Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time again, and you're live. Trump Radio Network.
Hi,
with Mike Mays. We're national. 760-454-7012. We're going to be here from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, coast to coast. Donald Trump, we do have on good word that he might be calling in an hour number two. Ivanka, she's listening in tonight, taking care of the kids. Special guest in the first hour, the spokesman for California's Latinos for Donald Trump, Keith Avila. This is Mike Mays, your host for Trump Radio Network. We're going to be talking about what the hell happened in San Jose yesterday when the police just allowed the disruptors to beat up on Trump rally attendees at the airport. What was going on there? This is just amazing that this is allowed to happen in the United States, that the police force just stood down and allowed this to happen. Hour number two, we're going to be talking about this shooter at UCLA, how the media intentionally deceived the public. Are we surprised out there? They called him a white person initially. The UCLA police, part of the Los Angeles Police Department. Now, it's been confirmed. I had my suspicions initially, but through multiple reputable sources, including Breitbart, NBC, CBS, the shooter was a Muslim N-1 visa student who came into the United States in 2001 and had his visa renewed three times, only to become a murderer of his professor. Without any further ado, I'd like to introduce you to the spokesman for California's Latinos for Donald Trump for president. The one, the only, he's going to ask you to take a pledge, and he's going to put you on the spot. Do you have the huevos for this ranchero? The one, the only, from the Central Valley, Keith Avila. Hey, Keith, how are you doing tonight?
Okay, I'm doing good. Really funny. I love the introduction.
Why, thanks a lot. And thank you for getting home in time to join us on the inaugural show of Latinos for Donald Trump, the not-so-silent majority. And so...
Yeah. This is how do you guys say it? Inauguration?
The inaugural show of Latinos for Trump. You know,
okay,
everybody
cool.
thinks that the Latinos are not for Donald Trump. Tell me, let's let the listeners know about your Latino heritage. So you'll get your street cred amongst the listeners.
Both my parents are from Mexico. My wife's from Mexico. All her family's from Mexico. I am a Latino. I know Spanish. I know about 90% Spanish. So I was born here. So I don't speak it 100% perfectly, but I was raised in a house that was, we spoke Spanish and we do everything, with the Mexican culture. I mean, I'm not sure if I've ever told you, because I don't share it. I haven't been sharing it lately, but I'm actually a photographer. I shoot quinceañeras. So,
okay. So to our listening audience, that's when a Spanish girl turns 15 years old, and it's a coming of age party, like a Jewish boy turns 13. Tell our listeners a little bit more of the symbolism with the quinceañera.
Well, basically, you basically said it. It's like a debut. The girl comes out, and she receives one last doll on her birthday, her 15th birthday, or the day of the quinceañera, which is not necessarily doesn't necessarily fall on the day of the her birthday. She receives one last doll. She switches from tennis shoes to high heels, or sometimes they look like high heels. I'm not sure what to call them, but
so they're dress shoes.
Yeah, kind of dress shoes. They're high heels, but they're not that high. So it's kind of just a transformation into a girl into a woman, where she's transitioning. So and it's just a big celebration, and everyone has a lot of fun, and I take a lot of pictures, and there's dances, and there's a ceremony at the church where the father will just have a bunch of ceremonies like that. Yeah.
Well, this is fascinating to me. I'm in Los Angeles, and our studios are in New York as well, but I've been immersed in the Spanish culture, but I didn't know all about the religious side, as well as the final doll or the shoes. But when I've gone to my my favorite Mercados here, and I will tell everybody that there is John's Market, and there's also Caldera's Market. I've seen long lines in the back of the store and wondering what's going on, and it's the young ladies trying on their dresses for the quinceañera, and it's just amazing.
These dresses are very, very elegant, or I'm not sure the exact word to use, but they're very flashy. They're very they stand out.
This is a big deal. Have the celebrations become more lavish over the past, several years, more expensive for the parents?
I've only been in this particular industry for about 2 years, and it's been consistently the same since I've been in there and doing the quinceañeras. But over a course of 10 years, there's probably been some change, but I wouldn't have been around to see it.
Yeah, so there's the DJ, the caterer, the dresses, the plenty of family and friends, and so it's something that family would save up for if they have a daughter.
They can be pretty expensive. Pretty expensive.
It's an expected expense, and of course for the photographer. So you are immersed in the Spanish culture. So I've gone on a lot of the Spanish websites, the immigration websites, as an observer, and sometimes and most of it's kind of nasty. Towards pro DACA, pro immigration. Occasionally, there'll be someone with a Spanish surname that'll talk about that you should be legal, do it legally, and that they came that they had to pay legal, do it the legal way, and they are called all types of curse words in two different languages. And I started to realize, I wouldn't want to speak up if I were Spanish, or Latino, Hispanic. Is there a differentiation to you being called Latino, Hispanic, Spanish? What's your preference?
I honestly, me personally, and I don't want to speak for everyone, I honestly have never really paid attention to the labels. I personally just say Latino, but I know other people who only want to say Hispanic, and I know other people only want to say Mexican. So it's really the communication that you're getting across. You're speaking about a certain community.
Well, obviously, if it's with respect, it should be taken that way. So,
mm-hmm.
So the conservative or the Republican Latino that is pro-legal immigration is just blasted if he doesn't follow the Jorge Lopez or the party line or the public figure line doesn't have his right to the First Amendment. What is your mm-hmm. experience? And first of all, what's your position as a First Amendment, as a voter? And then we'll get into your position on the issues. So
mm-hmm.
Who do you, you, obviously you like Donald Trump, but let's establish that with our listeners first.
Yeah. I definitely go for Donald Trump. When Donald Trump first announced his run for candidacy, I do have to admit, I jumped on the bandwagon at first, and I was anti-Trump, but not that much. I just kind of was like on the side of the anti-Trump, and without doing any study, without doing any sort of like looking into it, I didn't read anything. I kind of just flowed along with and just jumped on the bandwagon. And it wasn't till about, I don't know if you remember the exact date, but El Chapo had escaped and he was threatening Donald Trump. And when he threatened Donald Trump, everybody started siding with all the anti-Trump people started siding with El Chapo, and they started praising him, and they started making El Chapo look like this really good hero, really good, like good guy. And on that specific day, I'm not sure exactly what day that was, but on that specific day is the day that I jumped off the bandwagon of the anti-Trump people. And it was because, you know, these people, El Chapo, that's not a good guy. He's not a good guy. You can do your own research and you can find out exactly who this guy is and what he's done in his life. And you can find out for yourself. When I seen all this, El Chapo's the hero, he's going to kill Donald Trump, I was like, you know, that's ridiculous. It became to the point of like, okay, that's ridiculous. I'm not gonna follow you guys no more. I'm gonna do my own research, and I'm just gonna do my own thing. I stayed neutral for about a couple months, and it wasn't until I heard bits and pieces of who Donald Trump, what he stood for, and when I started hearing little bits and pieces from a neutral standpoint. Not from a biased standpoint, from a neutral standpoint. Then that's when I went in to go study and who the guy was, what he stood for. And the more you study who Donald Trump is and what he stands for, and the more you do that, the more you will side with Donald Trump, and you will jump off this bandwagon of violence and hateful, all this hate stuff coming from the anti-Trump protesters, which is, I think, is not only ridiculous, it's very disgusting and it's very embarrassing towards our particular culture, because that's a very small percentage of who we. It's not even who we are. It's just a very small percentage of people, and they don't represent the Mexican culture in the least.
Okay, so this is recent for you, but you did your because he escaped right at the beginning of May. So this is it that recent that you...
No, I think he escaped two times.
Oh, the did he? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's been... Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it was around November. I think it was around November. He dug a hole under his cell, and it was an inside job also. That's what they were saying on the news. It was an inside job, and he escaped, and then they caught him maybe like a month later or something. I'm not sure.
Right. Okay. So, all right. So originally was it his initial brashness that you didn't like, or was it his statement about the immigration that there's some percentage of people that are illegal here that are committing crimes, or was it just being part of the group, or let everybody know?
It was two things that. This is what actually caught my attention, but this is not what made me so passionate about Donald Trump. This is just what caught my attention. First thing is that he will speak badly about vaccines, and I know that's a very, very controversial subject. It's very, very controversial. But he does. I do not vaccinate my child, my son. And I feel very, very strongly against it. Just like how I studied Donald Trump, like days and days and hours just studying who he is, who he was. I did the same for vaccines. But with vaccines, I did study from the CDC, the FDA. I read all the fine print. It was just out of fear because I wanted to make sure I do the right thing with my little baby. At the time, he was a little baby. So when Donald Trump would tweet about anti-vaccine, it would just catch my attention. But that's all it would do, is just catch my attention. And then it wasn't until around February, I think, I'm not sure the exact date, but around February, he had said he wanted to audit the Fed, and that is the day that I really turned my head and I said, okay, this guy wants to audit the Fed. And I started laughing. So I went on to InfoWars and I found out he did an interview with InfoWars. And I was laughing and I just could not believe that Donald Trump would do an interview with InfoWars. And that's where I gave him my full attention. I say, okay, who is this guy? I want to know more about him. I want to know exactly what he stands for. What's going on here? Because it was tripping me out that he would do an interview with InfoWars. And if any of the listeners are listening to this right now and they know about InfoWars and you guys listen to that show, you particular people will know what I'm talking about. But it's just it's more of an underground news channel that goes into depth about conspiracy theories that the normal person, if he speaks about it, he gets ridiculed about it. But it's very controversial, so that's what got me. So that's when I started studying about Donald Trump.
Well, every good business knows they have to do an inventory every few months, and it doesn't seem like the United States has done an inventory in several years. Certainly the city of Los Angeles has their assets. We're $19 trillion in debt. Mm-hmm. We just keep on going into debt more. And this is the mentality of politicians, just to keep printing more money and going into more debt. And the rest of the world is just going along with it, but how long will the world just keep on going along with it, and we just keep on paying out more money? There's a limited asset pool that we have for social services, schools, and it's a pie, and the pie goes out, and if it's going out towards, let's say, people that are not here legally, then the people that are paying taxes that are here legally are going to get subsidizing, like in the Bernie Sanders mode or in the Barack Obama mode, for other people. Now, some people have children based on what they could afford, and some people have children based on incentives the government gives them on welfare. Now,
I feel very, very strongly against welfare. I'm very, very strongly against welfare.
Well, that's you know, if you're incentivized to have more children, and but you know, so you get extra money, extra food, extra housing for having more children, and those children are going to be utilizing more schools, and maybe having a less quality of school for them, and having more single parent households. And that's not a good thing, statistics prove. Then it's going to be more taxes for people that are making decisions that are perhaps more prudent. That is the cause and effect of the Obama plan, of the Clinton plan, certainly of the Sanders plan. And back into the to the Trump plan to audit. The United States is getting ripped off by vendors, and we're talking about vendors that are also not just Democrat vendors, Republican vendors stealing, the establishment stealing from the taxpayer. And
I heard something about that. I'm not a politician, and I just want your viewers to know. Your listeners. I'm not a politician. I'm a small business owner, and I will follow politics, but I'm not professional. But I did hear something about that the Congress took about some money out of the Social Security, and I guess never gave it back or something.
Yeah, that's the Social Security is a savings account that people put into for when they get older, and the politicians just took money out of it, and they figured, well, the younger people just pay into it, and that's not a wise way to do business. If we look at what happened in Greece had like a retirement age of 50-55, where if you were like a hair trimmer, and everybody needs to get their hair cut, but that was like the examples being used. You retire for the rest of your life getting full salary, and their economy collapsed, and the German government wanted that, said, you know what, you're only going to be able to take out $17 a day from your bank accounts to the people, and they were flipping out. So, I mean, those types of things was the reality in Greece, and they were beholden to their debtors. Who were our debtors? China, Saudi Arabia, Qatar. You know, meanwhile, you know, we've got to get our act together, and Donald Trump is able to do the auditing.
I really like that about him, and I'm particularly when I started studying Donald Trump, I heard about the trade deficits and how he wants to balance them. That's one of the things that got me really, really excited, because I never knew like what all that was exactly about. But the way Donald Trump explains it and the way he speaks to the average layman. Because if he did talk in all that technical words, I'd probably get lost. So I'm actually happy that he taught. He explains it so well. But about the trade deficits and how we're in like a $58 billion trade deficit with Mexico, a $508 billion trade deficit with China, and how countries are just basically using us and ripping us off. And if China goes to war with another country, we have to back them up. And if we go to war with someone, Japan doesn't have to do anything. They can just sit back and watch it on TV, which isn't kind of fair. I mean, it should be there should be a fair like exchange, and it doesn't seem like there's so too much fairness that's going on. It's more other countries taking advantage of us, and I don't necessarily want to take advantage of other countries. I just want it to be fair.
Right, right. The United States is being the military protectors of all of the allies in the world, and not sending anybody a bill.
Yeah, exactly. And it's okay to protect everyone, but let's do some fair. Be fair about it, though.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what Trump is saying, precisely. To have people countries participate in those expenses, because they're getting off free, and also to get a better deal with our trading partners in China, Mexico, Japan, mm-hmm. South Korea, etc. Because we're not getting such a good deal right now as a country. So, you know, it's pretty apparent that that Donald Trump is going to be the Republican nominee or the candidate in the general election. And it's also apparent that Bernie Sanders' group is going to fail in their attempt to become the Democratic candidate, that Hillary's going to be able
to. Yeah,
he's
too far behind.
Yeah, because in those stolen superdelegate votes, superdelegates. But
yeah,
there's
I
going
think
to be.
If it wasn't for the delegates, they'd be pretty neck and neck.
Right. And as I've looked at a lot of the issue positions that Sanders has, and he has 19, and a lot of them are. About five or six are very similar to Donald Trump's positions about reducing, getting Wall Street out of politics, reducing political PACs, auditing the federal government.
Oh, he wants to audit them too. I did not know that.
Well, yeah, he wants to do that in a way. He wants to also charge businesses taxes that have taken their corporate business locations offshore and are not paying any taxes.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Yeah, I heard about that.
So what's the point? The point is that there's going to be a lot of Sanders voters that hate Hillary Clinton. Who knows? She might be indicted, but you know, chances are even though she's done criminal acts, that she won't be indicted. But but there's going to be all those voters, passionate movement voters, just like Donald Trump's people are passionate movement voters.
Mm-hmm.
But just you know, they're not for we are not for unlimited immigration, for free schools and all this paid maternity leave. I mean, we would like to have money trees in our backyards, but there's a bit of fiscal responsibility that is tied to it. So those voters are going to be in play. They happen to think that Trump voters are going to be in play and the independents, but most likely, I don't think they're going to want to vote for Hillary Clinton. I think they're going to be in play as the spokesman.
Yeah, there will be a
for the Hispanic.
There'll be a good percentage that comes over, just based on what I've seen over here in California. Hillary doesn't have too good of a good reputation.
Right, and that's what I was getting at. You, as the spokesman for Latinos, California Latinos for Donald Trump, what is your impression of that dynamic of the Sanders voters that are going to be disenfranchised from the Democratic Party? And, you know, it's really not about Democrats versus Republicans anymore. It's about ideas about making this country great again, because this country really is at a crossroads. Do you think that these voters are in play, and that some of the Latino voters who were are hostile presently were hostile towards Trump, that are citizens that might see their way to voting for Donald Trump based on other issues?
The ones that are violent, I honestly don't have any hope for them. The only reason is because once you get so immersed like that and become violent like that, and you get immersed in something like that, to back out of it would make the person wrong. And the person is attempting to be right. In everything a person does in life, he's attempting to be right. So if he were to retract his loyalty to the anti-Trump and then go with Trump, would only make him wrong. So I think those people, they're just going to ride it until they fall off. The ones that will come over is the peaceful Bernie Sanders, the people that are actually peaceful Bernie Sanders supporters, which there are a lot of decent Bernie supporters that will come over. And as far as the Bernie Sanders that are violent and that's all they do, they spend all their time on just being hateful. And you got to realize, what I've realized is these anti-Trump posters that are so violent, they're like that with everything. They're natural. They're naturally violent. So if they get into a subject,
right,
they're going to be violent. They're probably violent with the people around them that are around them and voting for Trump. They're probably violent to their wife. They're probably violent to their children. That's just who they are. That's how they are. And for them to come to support Trump, I really don't see that. But I do see the decent Bernie Sanders coming on board, and they see. I think. And I'm just making a prediction based on what I've seen. I think a lot of them will come over to the Trump side because we are very peaceful. And not only because of that, because they know she's a traitor to the country. She's committed treason. And there's just no way a president can be in treason upon inauguration. To be inaugurated, I'm not sure how to say that. On the first day, already being treason.
Very true, very true. I mean, she dropped the ball, and did criminal acts as Secretary of State. And I'll tell the Trump audience, Trump Radio Network audience, and you're welcome to call in and talk with the spokesman for California Latinos for Donald Trump, Keith Avila, or myself, Mike Mays, Trump Radio Network, right now, 760-454-7012, 760-454-7012. We're coast to coast. We'll be on for another hour and 30 minutes. But I'll tell you that I was a Bill Clinton supporter in 1992, and I looked the other way when Bill Clinton was harassing women, was being accused of rape, but I'm not his wife. I'm not in the White House. now it's going to come down on Hillary. And if you saw tonight's photo was of Monica Lewinsky. She was a 20-year-old intern. And our president had sex with her in the White House. With his wife, and he stuck a cigar in her private parts. And back then,
I was very young when that happened. I was very, very young. I never even heard about that. Is that?
Yeah, well, that's why she's on the picture. If you take a look of Cigar Aficionado, because he put the cigar inside of her. Yeah, well,
it's
very
strange.
You know, he was tripping. That's all. He was, you know, wow, mom, the president got me this little intern. I think I'm gonna put this cigar inside. Why not? This White House is nice. And old Hillary, you know, she's not coming to bat like she used to. What the heck? I owe you one, Hillary. I owe you one. That's why and I'll tell you, I liked Hillary in 2008. I did, before she became I didn't know what she was doing screwing up as senator in New York, but I certainly didn't want John McCain to become president, and because he was kind of banged up and old. But if he died as president in 2008, Sarah Palin was his running mate. You got to think about that. He dies, gets killed. Sarah Palin becomes the president of the United States. And that is something that I thought, oh, my, I'm in a difficult spot here. So I voted for Barack Obama begrudgingly. 2012,
interesting.
It was Mitt Romney, and he's got like these robotic sons of his. I mean, they're probably really cool and stuff, but they were kind of like robots, and I just couldn't relate to him at all. So I didn't vote. I'll tell you, I did not vote in 2012. Obama was already doing his horrible work against the best interests of the United States, anti-Israel, pro terrorism, Muslim, and I just had to sit that out. That's all there was to it. And that was just my read on the 2012 election. And in that time, Hillary failed as the Secretary of State with Benghazi. She slept and ignored while our ambassador was being murdered by terrorists in Benghazi.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And she could have done something about it, and she just chose to she needed her sleep. She also didn't put the right people around her to secure her emails. She purposely set up a private email server, which was illegal. Go ahead.
I think people have speculated that the reason why she did it with her own personal server was so that she can intentionally be hacked and maybe help out enemies. But that's only speculation. But I mean, if you're the what is she? She's the ambassador of what?
Secretary of State. That's
okay.
Like,
Secretary of State. So you're very, very high.
That's fourth in line to the president.
Okay, so fourth in line from the president. She didn't think she was going to be a target of hackers. I mean, people way, way down the chain from her get hacked. What made her think that she was not going to be a target of hackers? There's no way it's just too much funny stuff going on in there. So, I mean, just the I'm not average. I don't like to say that I'm average, but I'm just a citizen of the United States, and I see that being ridiculous. So,
well,
I don't agree with what she did right there.
I don't even know if she thought that. She should think that, but I think that she did, like a lot of people that are in their late 50s and 60s, and I'm not going to say everybody, but a lot of people didn't grow up with computers in elementary school, and computers are not native to our upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't grow up with a computer in elementary school, junior high, or high school. So
mm-hmm.
it's not. So I had to learn about that. I started out with the original Apple computers, the 2E. I'm sure, and Hillary's older than I am, so she might be able to do email. She might be able to do a spreadsheet, but I don't think that she can do special encryption or anything like that, or know just how important it is to listen to your IT person and your security expert. She should, when it comes to keeping people, keeping your email safe. But she probably said, I want my private emails. I want a separate one. You know, that voice is so screechy. I can't even listen to her. But, if she was someone I trusted, which I don't, I just think she wanted what she wanted, and she just threw caution to the wind. I don't think that she is treasonous intentionally, like she would sell secrets to the enemy or let herself be hacked. I just think that she is very prideful and over ego ridden and has lots of hubris, where she is just so power hungry, where she didn't listen to the advice of people smarter than her in this field. And then, you can tell when she's lying, and it's not just because her lips are moving. She has that laugh, that smug laugh that she used on Bernie Sanders, and she looks sideways and during a debate when the other person is talking. And you'll see, I studied the body language, her body language. And it's very interesting. I'm here with the spokesman for California Latinos for Donald Trump, Keith Avila. You can reach us at 760-454-7012. 760-454-7012. This is the Trump Radio Network. Trump Radio Network is brought to you by Stiffy Off-Road Accessories. For the finest in off-roading accessories, go to Stiffy, home of the finest accessories. That's Stiffy. Have you got yours today? And you could just go to the internet, www.quadflags.com. www.quadflags.com. Just mention that you were listening to Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. You get 10% off on that. Blog Talk Radio is also sponsored by Marty's Hamburgers, home of the combo since 1955. For the finest in hamburgers, vegetarian burgers, hot dogs, Marty's, home of the combo. Also, Weiland Trucking. Don't get your load just there. Get it there safely. Weiland Trucking, 818-762-3155. Weiland Trucking. Blog Talk Radio is also brought to you by Fashions to You, serving the senior community in California and Nevada. Fashions to You. FanDuel is also a sponsor of Blog Talk Radio. One day, one week, FanDuel. Delta Virgin Atlantic is also a sponsor. Keep on climbing, Delta Virgin Atlantic. The Southern California Ford dealers are also proud sponsors of Blog Talk Radio. The Southern California Ford dealers. Also, Kellogg's Mini Wheats brings you Blog Talk Radio and Trump Radio Network. This is Mike Mays, and I'm happy to bring Keith Avila, the spokesman for California Latinos for Donald Trump.
Hi.
Hey, we've got Keith Avila here, and you're listening to Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 760-454-7012. 760-454-7012. Of course, you can listen to this show on podcast and archive 24 hours a day at www.blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com. Just go to Trump Radio Network. You can download it, listen to it, have it, always and always. Keith Avila, we've got the California election, the presidential primary, June 7th, 2016.
Yeah.
So a lot of Republicans out there are thinking about going to the ballot. And you can ask for a provisional ballot and vote for Bernie Sanders if you really want to mess with Hillary Clinton. Of course, we all want to show a very strong support for Donald Trump and use our Republican ballot and do that.
Yeah.
But
well,
it really,
Hillary's gonna get it. I honestly believe Hillary's gonna get it. If a Republican would do that, I think it would be. It would still be useless. Hillary is going to be the nominee. In my prediction, I think she's going to be the nominee.
Yeah, good call. I just wonder what these Sanders voters are going to do. I'm wondering. I've got my former history teacher at Hamilton High, who's a big Bernie supporter, former head of the California Teachers Association, Wayne Johnson, wondering if he's able to come in on that, because he's a very, very passionate supporter of Bernie Sanders, and he's been
it'd be very interesting to listen to
on the show
of
before.
What he's going to do. Oh, yes.
Well,
has he mentioned anything, like what he's going to do if Hillary gets the nomination?
Well, he's probably in denial. He would be in denial. He would just think that she's still going to be brought up on charges, and Bernie's going to convince the superdelegates to vote
mm-hmm.
for him, to give him their votes, and that he is going to end up with the 1,237 delegate votes to be the. Oh, it looks like I might have called someone out here. Let's see who we have on Trump Radio Network. This is Mike Mays. You're live on Trump Radio Network. Who do we have here?
This is a very concerned American, Danny from Cleveland. living in Malibu.
Danny, Mr. Indian Red Lopez, in Malibu, California, home of the liberals. You're on live with Keith Avila, the spokesman for Latinos for Donald Trump, and Mike Mays from Trump Radio Network. So you have a Hispanic last name. Now, I'm not going to presume that you're Hispanic by what you said. What's on your mind tonight, Danny?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up, Mike. The thing is my dad's from Colombia, South America. He came here in 1958. He really didn't know any English. He came here legally, and he got his education here and became a United States citizen because he realized it's the greatest country in the world. And he's had a great life, and he brought us up, my brother and I, to love America and to assimilate into American culture, and just to be grateful for all the great things we have here. But he did it legally. So I think what really disturbs me is this tone deaf sort of thing that you get from the left, and really a lot of Latinos were. You know, when people say illegal immigration, it becomes all immigration, and it's not. You know, if you're here illegally, I think you should be sent back to wherever you came. And then there's a process you can go through legally. You know, these illegal aliens, illegal immigrants are illegal. They're breaking the law, and they're using up a lot of our resources. And I come from, my heritage is that of an immigrant. But he came here legally, and it's just bothersome, And I'm surprised you don't hear more legal immigrants, which speak out against illegal immigration, because it really, they play by the rules. These other people don't play by the rules. Why should they be rewarded? I'm surprised they aren't angry and really railing against it. But it's bothersome too because it's not racist.
Let me ask you a question, Danny. But a lot of people would say you're xenophobic. You're an immigrant too. Is it just the people that are of Hispanic, of Latin heritage that are here illegally, or are you talking about people that have overstayed their student visas and tourist visas from, say, Japan, Korea, Africa, Russia, Israel? You're making a flat out statement, not specific to Hispanics because, we of our proximity to the border with Mexico. You're making a flat out statement that, there's people that come here legally. The 1 million people actually is the number that the United States allows to come in annually on legal immigration visas, and the rest are kind of jumping ahead of the line and gaming the system. Why don't you make it clear to our listeners what you mean exactly?
Well, Mike, I think I mean everyone who's here illegally. Everyone who's here illegally should be sent back where they came from, and then they can come back, if they follow the process, they can come back legally. But I think because of where we're at, along the border with Mexico, that's the main issue. There's a lot of illegals that are coming over, and they take up resources, and then life isn't as good as they thought it was going to be when they're here, and they break, and they're already criminals, but a lot of them will break the rules, and we pay for it. They'll break other rules, and we pay for it. We pay for it. We're victims in a lot of ways. And, one thing I do want to say is prior to Trump running, no one, not a single politician would take this issue on. it's become an issue because he's willing to bring it up, and he's willing to be the lightning rod, and he's been willing to take the heat and the hatred that's coming from.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, and I'm happy because it's a vital political issue and a valid political issue, and it needs to be
handled.
Let
me throw a question out to both of you. So, two illegal people who are here illegally, and then people say, oh, people aren't illegal. Yeah, you're here illegally. Come to the United States, and they have a baby. And because of the 14th Amendment, that baby then become, if they're born on United States soil, they become, that child becomes an American citizen. But their parents are not legal. So the parents are in line, the parents might commit a, you know, the an additional crime aside from their illegal entry into the United States. And then they're ready to get deported because they have committed, in addition to the crime of illegal entry and overstay in the United States, they've committed an additional crime, whether it's hit and run or a murder, laundry list of crimes. So you see, I'm using a qualifier. Now, a lot of these to hell with your immigration laws as the sovereign country people, that are screaming and yelling and waving and burning our flag. And I'm going to throw this out to Keith first and to you, Danny. All right, so you have a three-year-old child. You have two parents that are here illegally, and you have these screamers out there that are saying you're breaking up a family, but both parents are here illegally. Maybe one of them has a second charge beyond being here illegally, maybe for a crime committed. What is your answer to them, Keith Avila? Why they're being deported? Are they breaking up a family, or is it something they knew coming in here illegally and having a child, that this was a possible reality and consequence that they would have to deal with?
Well, let me tell you why becoming legal is a good idea in the first place, and then I'll explain the second part of that. The reason why becoming legal is a good thing is because when people enter into this country legally, they denounce their devotion, their allegiance to their own country, and then upon that, secondary, they then pledge their allegiance to the United States of America, and by doing this, just that little simple little thing, it gives the person newly entering into the country a starting point where they are now loyal. They are now in a relationship per se, and that's not really the correct word, but they're now in the United States, and they're loyal, and their interests now lay in the United States and benefiting the United States. When a person comes over here legally, what we've been seeing on the news, these people are waving around flags, and they're not flags of the United States. Their allegiance, their devotion, they're loyal to their country of their heritage. And it's okay to love your heritage and to respect your heritage, but to be to have your allegiance to another country and to be in the United States is going to create conflicts. As you can see, my heritage is the Mexican culture. And what I personally see from all of this, there's these criminal thugs walking the streets, punching people, waving the Mexican flag. And what I see from that is they're not loyal to this country. Their loyalty is somewhere else. It's not the United States. So for them to make any sort of speech on the political arena, would not be good because their interest lies in foreign nations. what Trump talks about is America first. He's talking about America, what's good for America, not what's good for Mexico, it's not what's good for China. Oh, you know what, we're going to improve Japan. It's let's improve the United States. These people that are walking around waving Mexican flags, their interests lie solely in Mexico. And I love Mexico, and it's my heritage, and I totally respect it, but we're in the United States. We are in the United States of America, and if you're not loyal to this country, it's equivalent to, let's say, a guy divorces, gets a divorce, and he gets into a new relationship, and he has a child with that new wife. Now, if his devotion and his loyalty still remains with the ex-wife, there's going to be conflict. His decision-making in the household, if he's loyal to the ex-wife, will be disastrous upon the household. It works the same way with the nation. If we allow people to come in illegally with their devotion, their loyalty still to the land where they came from, it will be a disastrous. It will be very disastrous in as far as if they're let to vote, they permitted to vote, permitted to speak within the political arena. In my personal view, they can express themselves, but they shouldn't hold any weight. They shouldn't hold. There shouldn't be any influence. It should be Americans stay within American politics, and for a foreigner coming into American politics, they need just to step aside and let us do what we do. And if they want to come into the political arena, the American political arena, they should become a citizen and denounce their loyalty to their country, and then announce their loyalty to this country. And everything would be a lot smoother.
Well, good take on that, Keith Avila. Dan Lopez, now, what about the people that say you're breaking up a family, but the people knew, when they came
you
in
know that,
here
you know, that's
the child, that there was going to be a consequence?
Yeah, I'm not a professional politician, and that is a tough one for me. That is a very, very tough one for me. And I think for that particular – to answer that particular question, I'd have to, like, really think about it and figure out, like, what would be the best for everybody? What would be the best solution for just to do it in a humane way? I think I heard Donald Trump saying one time in an interview with Jorge Ramos that he was going to do deportations, but in a very humane way, because he had a bigger heart than that. And what I heard Donald Trump say was that he was going to start deporting the really, really bad ones. This is what he said in an interview with Jorge Ramos. He was going to start with the very, really, really bad ones. My personal opinion, for a illegal immigrant here with a child that was born on in the United States, in the meanwhile that these really bad thugs and criminals are getting deported, she should be worrying about getting illegal. Because after they go, I honestly don't know, and I wouldn't want to see people, families getting broken up. But at the same time, if her loyalty is still to that foreign nation, it's still going to be disastrous. She's going to base her decisions and her voting preferences on what's best for the other country.
Very good. Very well said, Keith Avila. Dan Lopez, what's your take on that situation?
I think the people who are really breaking up a family, there's no question, like, a child's born here, I guess, you know, by constitutional standards, they're an American citizen, but their parents aren't. So the kid has – they aren't at an age where they made that decision, and the parents shouldn't be – they shouldn't be rewarded for coming here legally – illegally. So you got to send the whole family back. And the kid, I guess, gets to a certain age. He can make it – the age of what, reason? They can make a decision – he can make a decision to come here. But just because a kid was born here and he's an American citizen, then you're supposed to leave the parents here? That insults, I think that insults the collective intelligence of our country, because clearly the intent was, it's not even hidden. Their intent was just to get here and have that baby so they could, you know, so they could live off of, the vast resources we have here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you remember the Elian Gonzalez thing, right?
That was a real crazy situation. Yeah, that was a crazy situation.
No one
situation
said anything because it was Clinton. He was a Democrat. No one said anything. And no one, you know, he had plenty of family here. No one said anything. He was a liberal Democrat president. And I guess it's okay when he does it, but it's not okay when it's just the double standard that exists in America today. It's very bothersome. The left media is just going to rail against the conservative. I mean, even a guy who's really a moderate Republican in Trump.
He really is moderate. He's closer to being a conservative Democrat than being a moderate Republican. But I'll give you moderate Republican. Because he's a Republican candidate. Absolutely, Dan.
Yeah. So, look, you can't take a kid away from his family, and you can't reward the family for who comes here illegally, just because they had the baby here. You know, you just keep the family together. I think that's the most humane.
Well, let the family go, and the child go back to the mother and father's country of origin.
Right.
I mean... And if people have sympathy for that mother and father, these people that are rioting, let them chip in out of their own money and buy them a house, whether it's in Japan or in Korea or in Mexico or in Jamaica, and let them build a house. But that way you're not rewarding people here illegally because they had an anchor baby. There was that Chinese hotel over in a suburb of Los Angeles in Alhambra where seven-month pregnant women were coming from China. They were paying $50,000 for the last 2 months of their pregnancy. And they would stay in this hotel, apartment building. It was like a hotel, and they would have the baby here, and $50,000. And that would be like their get out of jail card when China, when their bubble burst, is going to burst, and it will. And that they got arrested, and the federal government was ruthless. With Chinese and this organized anchor baby thing, but insofar as if you're involved in an accident or if the ICE enforcement, customs enforcement, ICE agents want to deport someone that's committed a crime, not just a crime of overstaying your visa or entering here illegally, but committing a crime and being here illegally, and you're in a sanctuary, one of the 300 sanctuary cities, of which LA is one, Sacramento's one, San Francisco's one. The city will not cooperate with the federal agents to...
Interesting.
To deport that person. So if they hit and run somebody, and they're in a an LA jail, and the federal government finds out that they've hit and run, that's a felony. They hurt somebody, hit and run, and ICE wants to deport them. The sanctuary city will not release them to the federal government for deportation. Because of the nonsense politics. So now the federal government wants to no longer fund these cities on very big ticket items because of their failure of compliance with the federal agency's desire to deport people like the guy that killed that girl, Kate Steine, in the San Francisco area, who was scheduled for deportation and had been deported six times. Do you think a wall might have kept him out? The chances of
Not just a wall. Listen, a policy
and enforcing
that says,
the law.
Look, we have rules and we're going to enforce them. And, you know, you can come here legally. But if you don't come here legally, you're going to get sent back. And if you keep doing it, we're going to you're going to get jailed. And then you'll get sent back. You know, so this policy of, like, anything goes is just – it's not working, and it's ridiculous. It just is terrible, and I'm against it. You know, what the liberal Democrats are now calling illegal immigrants is just – it's laughable. It's so pathetic. They call them undocumented what is it? Undocumented immigrants, because they just see them as voters. They see all
exactly.
those guys as voters. And again, they're not placing, like, it's what Henry said, they're not placing America first. They're placing their, what they want
Keith
is Keith power.
Yeah.
Keith said. Well, Keith has a, he's going to put you on the spot right now, Dan Lopez.
Okay.
And I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say that unless I thought you would man up to it, because this nation is being put on alert by Keith Avila, who is the head of Latinos for Donald Trump. But he's going to ask you to take the Keith Avila challenge, pledge and challenge.
Okay,
Keith. That's
I don't know what I'm getting into, Keith. So I'm going to manage your expectations here.
What was that?
All right, go ahead, Keith. You're live on Blog Talk Radio, Trump Radio Network, coast to coast, worldwide. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to first of all say that it's not called the Keith Avila Challenge. It's just called simply the Pledge of Allegiance Challenge. This is in response to all the rioting and all the violence that's occurring in Costa Mesa, New Mexico, and San Jose. I had thought of the idea to challenge people to pledge their allegiance to the flag of the United States, just because there's so many other flags being flown here in the United States, which for some particular areas of the United States, it may be easy to take the challenge, but for other parts of the United States, like in California and in some areas of California, it's not so easy to pledge your allegiance to the flag of the United States as opposed to the flag of your heritage. So that's my challenge, and I can challenge you. Would you be up to the challenge to pledge your allegiance to the flag of the United States?
Yeah, I pledge my allegiance to the United States of America and to a republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There you go. And that's the challenge. Now, there's a second step to that challenge, though. And the second step to the challenge is to call out on four other people to take that challenge.
Okay, well, you know, we'll see. I'm a salesman, so I don't know how well that'll go over on sales calls, but, you know, in certain circumstances,
Well, you can challenge your family. You can challenge some of your family and just keep it going.
I'm going to call my brother-in-law live on the air right now.
All right,
and,
guys, I got to check out. Thanks for having me on the show, Mike.
Hey, thank you very much,
Keith, nice
Dan.
Talking to you.
Thank you
no
for
problem.
Calling
thank
into
you.
Trump Radio Network on the Blog Talk. Mighty Blog Talk Network International. Have a wonderful weekend there, Dan. That's
you
Dan
too.
Lopez
care, guys.
From,
have a good day, Dan.
From Malibu.
Okay. Bye.
Hey, Mike. I'm sorry to tell you this, but I'm headed. I have a graduation I'm supposed to be attending, and hello?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's wrap it up with Keith Avila. He's the spokesman for California Latinos for Donald Trump. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And
yeah, no problem. I had fun.
Thank you very much. We'll have you on again. And is there a website or a Twitter feed that you would like people to be able to get in touch with you at?
Yeah, I have. It's newly created. If your listeners don't know this, I did go viral about a week and a half ago with one of my videos. It reached over 500,000 viewers. Just because the amount of people that it got to, I created a new
the
Pledge of Allegiance challenge. Yeah, so I do have a Facebook set up, a Facebook page set up, which people can go to contact me. It's www.facebook.com/the Pledge of Allegiance challenge.
And that'll be up on the Trump Radio Network. We'll put that up there on Facebook, Trump Radio Network. Keith will put that up there sometime tonight, if that's okay with you, Keith.
Yeah.
And why don't you repeat that one more time for our listeners?
Okay, so to reach this particular challenge or movement that is going on is www.facebook.com/The Pledge of Allegiance challenge.
Great. Thank you so much, Keith. Go ahead and get to that graduation. Take some good pictures. Celebrate the graduate. And we'll be talking to you again soon. That's Keith Avila. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Okay.
You're welcome. Have a great time tonight. That was Keith Avila, the head of the Southern California Latinos for Donald Trump. And why don't you go take a look at him and get him for his Facebook.com/Pledge of Allegiance challenge on Facebook. That's pretty cool. That 500,000 hits already. So right now we're going to take a little bit of a break and thank our sponsors. Again, this is Mike Mays from Blog Talk Radio, your host at the Trump Radio Network. We'd like you to send in your questions to Trump Radio Network on Facebook, and we will select some questions to read on the air. And if anybody from the Trump Election Committee gives us a call, maybe we can even have 60 seconds with the man himself. We will ask that question. Because Donald Trump is going to make America great again. We need a businessman in the White House. And yeah, I think it's great that his company went bankrupt 4 times. One of his countless companies went bankrupt because he got up again and he created and he didn't sit on his ass. That is what America is about. Oh, and you want to talk about the Trump Institute? Fine. Were you guaranteed that when you went to earn whatever you're doing, that you were going to make 50 or 70, 150 a year? I've taught so many people how to do a particular profession, but they didn't have the balls to do it the right way. They were afraid of rejection. They didn't ask for the business or the commitment. And they, from the customer, look at all the yeses he collected and the praise from all the customers. But this media is just trying to look at the few needles in the haystack that want to get their money back. And he's saying bull to that. Could Donald Trump be abrasive at times? You bet. He speaks regular language, the kind that you speak with people when nobody's watching. You can understand him. That's why we like him. Yeah, it's plain talk. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 100 basic words. He doesn't mince meat with his meaning. Yeah. Do I agree with 100% of things that he says? No. Do I think he's going to have a learning curve? Yeah. Do I think Hillary's already failed as the Secretary of State? Yeah. Do I think that she missed the target as being a supporter of women's rights when she tried to destroy all women in Bill Clinton's tyranny? Yeah, I do. Whitewater? Yeah. Did I condone it at the time? Yeah. Was I aware of it? Yeah. This is Trump Radio Network, a blog talk radio program. (760) 454-7012. That's 760-454-7012. That's 760-454-7012. Headlines, Los Angeles Times. Hillary Clinton calls Trump dangerous. And she also says his foreign policy agenda is a collection of rants and outrageous lies. It's not hard to imagine Donald Trump leading us to war just because someone got under his very thin skin. Well, we know one thing. No one got under her husband. Someone got under her husband's thin skin, into his knickers. That's right. Into his knickers. All right. Got another half hour here on the Trump Radio Network, making America a better place. Flash from Breitbart News Network, a reputable news network. Let's just go over our headlines. Whoa, I didn't realize that. No kidding. Oh, well, you know what? My credit to all my, some of my very liberal friends that that are reading Breitbart. Okay. Well, they're staying informed. Very good. Okay. Well, I am a little surprised. A little surprised. Well, they read it just to see what the truth is, but then ignore it. Okay. Well, that's their prerogative to do that. Let all you know that game two of the NBA Finals will be on Sunday, this Sunday, June 5th, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time from the Oracle Arena, San Francisco, the Bay Area, 5 p.m. Don't give much hope for Cleveland, but I didn't bring that up with Danny. Who was on earlier from the Cleveland area. Yeah, okay, so I'm looking at a post by Wayne Johnson. A win in California will blow up the Democratic convention. Clinton pollster predicts Sanders' win in California will finish. Finish what? Very interesting. Yeah, now Wayne Johnson is talking about Jimmy Carter being an honest man, just telling the truth, the most anti-Semitic president until Barack Obama came into office. Anti-Israel. Wayne Johnson has a real love for drawing Nazi and Holocaust corollaries with Republicans and Donald Trump. Demented usage of the word Nazi and Holocaust. Respectful usage of it. Kind of a perverted usage of it, actually. Very disrespectful. All right. Well, again, want to thank our guest, Keith Avila, for California Latinos for Donald Trump. And also hope that you have a nice evening, nice weekend. This is Trump Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, hoping that you have a really great weekend. Mike Mays, your host, hoping you have a great weekend.